Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you what a week we have had here in the city of Benton Harbor, a city that has less than 10,000 people. The city that is 45 miles from South Bend, Indiana, 70 miles from Chicago, Illinois, 179 miles from Detroit, Michigan, and another 90 miles from Grand Rapids, Michigan. But we are in the middle of a dog fight. We have a person who we put in office, our personal choice. We put him in office. Matter of fact, we picked him up and put him in office. His name is Marcus Muhammad. I will no longer call him Marcus Muhammad. He will be known as Marcus Singer. That's his true name. He's definitely not part. Well, he's in, I guess in his mind, he's part of the Nation of Islam. But unfortunately, he had turned his back not only on the Nation of Islam, but also on the people of Benton Harbor, Michigan. This man is doing a lot of dirty work. If he wasn't black, you would think that he was Trump. He acts the same way that Trump is acting. He thinks he's bigger than life. Believe me, he's even as far as I was told, and I don't have evidence to support this part of the statement, that he was commingling with the drug dealers. I don't know whether it's true or false, but I'm putting it out there for one reason. So people who are in the city of Benton Harbor, Kalamazoo, somewhere close, if you see it, I want you to report it back to me. Because people have been coming up talking to me about this man and how we helped put him in office and he had turned his back on the people. Shameful and ridiculous. But it just goes to show what a man would do. He don't even take care of his own family and work it. His wife said that she was a single parent. She has six kids by him, or six children, I should say. I don't like to use that term, kids. But she has six children by this guy. And she said that she is a single parent because this guy is ridiculous. Also, the school board. One of the school board members decided that she was going to quit because it was a hostile environment. She said that Joe Taylor was hostile towards her. Well, what I found out after doing a small investigation, the problem was she wanted to run the school board. She thought that she was smarter than everybody else. She got the title doctor in front of her name. But her way of thinking, well, she was smarter than everybody else on that school board, and she should be able to do what she wanted to do. Not so. Not so. There's nothing more important than our children. Nothing. I cannot think of one thing that is more important than our children. I care less how a person feels about a certain person. I care less about whether people like me or not. I don't care. I would give you that much power over me. You will not get that much power over me by deciding whether you like me or not. I don't know why I like you. Who cares? I don't care. It's bigger than you and I. This thing is big. But we have to learn to come together and fight back, because it's right in front of our face. Whether we like it or not, we have to stand up and fight and deal with things that here, but we can win. See, there's strength in numbers. See, this is what, you know, even with the federal government, state government, local government, is more of us than them. How do we let them beat us down? Because we start fighting with each other. We don't need to fight with each other. All we need to do is stand tall and do what needs to be done. Because I tell you, they're coming. They're already saying there's too many people on this earth. And they want people to be under control, mind control. That's right. I know my listeners, you had a, and I'm going to tell all my listeners who listened last week and sent me a message telling me stuff, asking me stuff. I'm excited. Don't stop doing that because we want you to. If you have an issue, let us know. And we can back it up. See, that's the difference. If you can't back it up, then that's something. We can back it up. I tell you one thing that's important that we need to know, that we're going to stand together with all the target individuals. And my listeners, it appears now that you care and you want to help. I love it. I love it because that's our main objective right there, so people can be educated enough to understand that this government would do anything, anything. Every single person is expendable. Every single person in this country is expendable, even the president. You Trumpers out there who think that Trump is all this in a bag of chips, he's expendable. If they wanted to get rid of him tomorrow, they would. You know, all his, he's like a mob boss anyway. That's what he is. The godfather, the confather, that's what he is. But the point is, you got over 50% of this country supporting this. So my target individuals, we're going to come together and deal with this. We are not going to be defeated because I'm giving you a follower. I'm talking about folks from all over the country now is understanding exactly what we are talking about. And we're going to do this. And we're going to make it happen, regardless what they say. It's really not important. What's important is what you do. You see, if you allow them to target you and then try to label you as crazy, then you're going to have a hard time. But if you fought back as a group, your handlers, they got, you know, all these, they got handlers and everything out here following you, gang stalking you. But you must make that decision. I can't make it for you. We got to stand together, fight together, be together, and we can win this together. Because that's the only way. You see, you know about what happened in Cuba. You know how they did in Cuba. They did the Cubans like, hey, and here's something that most people don't know. Do you remember that war they had in Iraq? See, when the one of the finest fighting armies in the whole world just dropped their guns and surrendered. Never happened. Because you are trained to fight to death. Never happened. Never. Unless it was done electronically. It had to be done by some kind of microwave or whatever it is. There's no other way. Because they are trained to sacrifice their life. But they drop their guns and surrender. One of the finest fighting armies in the whole wide world. Never heard of it. Never. But on that point, I want to bring in my good friend, Amy. This is an opportunity for her to tell the world her story. Something that she can do. But Amy, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. Good afternoon or good evening. I am speaking to you from Pacific Northwest, so here it is 2 o'clock. So I know it's 3 hours later by you.
You're right.
I am doing
it's
well.
It's actually 5 o'clock here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, exactly. So today I'm going to be talking about the microwave hearing auditory effect, also known as D2K or synthetic telepathy. I call it B2K because it's really easy to say, very, you know, simple. B2K has quite a history, Reverend. I would like to talk about it a little bit, and then I'd like to talk about my personal experiences getting it, getting perpetrated by it. So I will start now, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
And okay, thank you. Okay, so the microwave hearing is a scientific fact. Existing radar units can be modified to transmit a beam of pulse microwave energy into a person's skull, which causes sounds such as ticks, buzzes, hisses, knocks, chirps, and words. That's the worst, the words. That's all not known more than anything else as D2K when you're getting words. Getting voices. The sounds which originate from within, above, or behind the head are transmitted to the inner ear via bone conduction. There is no external noise. It can be applied at a distance of at least hundreds of meters. Man-portable transmitters allegedly exist to this as well. Also, it could be sent to you from satellites. This is all conjecture. These are all possibilities / probabilities. Despite some of the relatively recent announcements that this is possible, according to other mainstream reports, it has been around in some form since at least the early 1960s. Two notable contributors to the early development of microwave hearing includes Dr. Alan Frey, it's also known as the Frey effect because of his name, and Dr. Joseph Sharp. In his 1962 report, Human Auditory System Response to Modulated Electromagnetic Energy, which appeared in the Journal of Applied Psychology, Dr. Frey described how microwave hearing was demonstrated using a microwave transmitter that projected sound several hundred feet. The transmitter used pulse-modulated waves at extremely low average power levels. The transmission was immediate. The system was wireless and receiverless, and the sounds were even heard by the deaf. Then in the mid-1970s, Dr. Sharp helped to develop microwave hearing technology for DARPA. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which is part of the United States Department of Defense. That's what DARPA is. Technology for DARPA while conducting research at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. In 1973, Dr. Sharp proved that the correct modulation of microwave energy could result in the wireless and receiverless transmission of audible speech. In 1976, it was reported by the Los Angeles Herald Examiner that the Soviets were also conducting extensive research into microwave hearing that was brought to the attention of the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. Words which appeared to be originating within a person's skull, they reported, could be induced by microwaves. The technology was to be used for anti-personnel purposes. It's interesting how they say what it's for. The October 1998 United States patent for 877027 hearing system mentioned that sound can be induced in the head of an individual using microwaves in the range of about 100 millihertz to 10 gigahertz. The waves consist of frequency-modulated bursts lasting from about 500 nanoseconds to 100 microseconds that create a sense of hearing in the individual whose head is targeted. It is effective regardless of a person's hearing ability. Other patents pertaining to microwave hearing, such as the August 1989 U.S. patent 485-8612 hearing device and the July of 2003 U.S. patent 658-7729 apparatus for audible communicating speech using the radio frequency hearing effect are based on similar scientific principles. In July of 2008, New Scientist magazine announced that Sierra Nevada Corporation planned to build a microwave gun able to project beams of sound directly into people's heads. The weapon, which is based on the microwave audio effect, will be used by the military. Wired Magazine's February 2008 story, Pentagon Report, non-lethal weapons could target brains, mimic schizophrenia, described how microwave weapons which create voices in people's heads are not only possible, but have already been demonstrated. Most researchers from the mid-1960s into the early 1990s have concluded that bone conduction thermal expansion is the physical mechanism that allows for microwave hearing. The detection of microwave hearing is the same in humans as it is in other mammals. Bone conduction is just a secondary pathway for sound transmission in humans and most other mammals. In other words, anything that has a central nervous system can be targeted. Pets, any kind of critters. Unfortunately for them. But bone conduction works basically in the following way. Upon hitting the skull and interacting with the soft tissue in the head, a microwave signal in the range of about 2.4 megahertz to 10 gigahertz is down converted to an acoustic frequency of about 5 kilohertz. This acoustic energy launches a thermoacoustic wave which is sent to the inner ear by conduits of soft tissue that extend from the skull to the bony portion of the inner ear. Once it reaches the inner ear, it activates the cochlear where the regular process of hearing occurs. Although the increase in tissue temperature which causes the acoustic wave is rapid, it is small because the pulse only lasts milliseconds. Therefore, there are no known harmful biophysical effects. The sound produced by the transmission is immediate. It is noticed from within, behind, or above the head. According to some researchers, an individual's ability to hear this type of sound depends on them being able to hear above 5 kilohertz. People with hearing loss above 5 kilohertz may not perceive these types of sounds as well as those with regular hearing up into the 15 kilohertz range. Also, because these are low intensity sounds, A quiet environment is required in order for them to be heard. That's why when people who are targeted, Reverend, are by themselves, they're better targets. They're easier targets. These methods and protocols work better on them because they have no distractions. Microwave hearing is a well-established phenomenon. The basis for which extends back to at least the early 1960s. Project Paperclip, which I think Derek Robinson spoke a little bit about last week, with Project Paperclip, they exported 1,800 Nazi scientists into this country after World War II. So they continue, the Nazis continue their devious, demonic, satanic experiments here in this country on U.S. soil. And that's where this came from as well. So according to the United States military, some uses for microwave hearing include establishing a private message transfer and disrupting people who are not aware that the technology exists. NATO and the United States Army consider microwave hearing to be I don't know what this means. It's NLW. I'm sorry, I don't know what this means, NLW. Sorry about that. Dr. Robert Becker, author of multiple books and a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, mentioned that microwave hearing could be used to drive a person insane. It would be pure terror, agreed Dr. McBegich. The use of this technology, says the United States Army, in its bioeffects of selected non-lethal weapons document, could be psychologically devastating. Yes, ask any person who's targeted, that knows they're targeted, what it feels like to get a microwave auditory effect. They'll tell you it's one of the worst things that can be done to a person, to a human being. Subliminal mind control is considered by the U.S. Army, War College, and Naval Law Review, the U.S. Air Force Institute, and other resources as a non-lethal weapon. In 2005, India Daily mentioned in its new advanced mind control techniques gives a new flavor to modern warfare article that defense scientists all over the planet have been working on this technology to make enemies surrender without a fight. Just like what you were talking about, Reverend, before about
the Iraq army.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
The whole army just dropped their guns. A real fighting army, a fighting machine. They have the one. Their army is better trained than the army here in the United States of America, and they fight until the death. They don't, they get honor when they die on the battlefield. But they dropped every last one of these guys, dropped their arms and surrendered. Never been done before. So I know they was done by microwave. And you're absolutely right. Go on.
Okay. So anyway, it was done by having undetectable signals into their minds. That was done by the microwaves. The Russian government perfected a type of subliminal mind control technology demonstrated in a series of experiments going back to the 1970s that could be used to suppress riots, control dissidents, and demoralize opposing forces. The technology, referred to as psychocorrection, was created by the Department of Psychocorrection at the Moscow Medical Academy. It consisted of powerful subliminal messages that could be transmitted by infrasound into the subconscious without interfering with conscious mental functions. Because the messages were transmitted below the human hearing range, these messages could be sent on their own channel. It had effects on unwilling subjects in less than a minute. The Japanese have developed similar devices, also operating in the infrasonic range. In order for subliminals to be successful, they must not be perceived by the conscious mind. In the auditory range of human hearing, the higher the decibel, the louder the sound. This measurement of intensity also applies to the inaudible infrasonic and ultrasonic sound ranges. It means the higher the decibel amplitude of the subliminal message, the better the result. This is important because with regular subliminals, both the messages and foreground sound occur on the exact same frequency. Because of this, regular subliminal messages average about 18 decibels because they must be several decibels less than the foreground music in order to be concealed. However, subliminal technology, which uses the inaudible infrasonic range, such as the type which was perfected in Russia, is not subject to this decibel limitation. The increase in decibels allows for more powerful subliminals. For this reason, it also has its own conduit channel directly into the subconscious mind. The Psycho Center, which was associated with the Department of Psycho Correction, mentioned that the software and hardware for a computer-based psycho correction device could be obtained for about $80,000. In addition to transmitting corrective subliminal programming, the device could allegedly probe the contents of a person's mind. In the early 1990s, the United States began studying this technology with the goal of bringing it under bilateral U.S. and Russia government control. Scientists, diplomats, and military officers at the Russian Ministry of Higher Education, Science, and Technology Policy provided limited demonstration to United States representatives. During this time, Dr. Janet Morris of the United States Government Soviet Commission was the primary contact between Russian and United States officials regarding the transfer of this technology. She visited the Moscow Institute of Psycho Corrections in 1991. When she was shown subliminal psychocorrective methods developed at the Moscow Medical Academy. She then lectured senior U.S. intelligence and military officials on this technology. Then in October of 1992, U.S. Patent 515-9703 Silent Subliminal Presentation System, also called Silent Sound and Clear Channel, was issued to Dr. Oliver Lowry. It is an inaudible form of communication that occurs just beyond human hearing range, nearly ultrasound, or just below it, nearing infrasound. Because of this, it is similar to the Russian technology. Its industry names include Brainstorm, Brainstream, and BrainSpeak. Silent sound can be sent acoustically or vibrationally into the brain. The programming is received by the ear, undetected by the conscious mind, and immediately decoded by the subconscious to influence thoughts and emotions. Because silent sound is transmitted above or below the threshold of human hearing, its power, amplitude, decibel, is not limited the way regular subliminals are, which must be covered by foreground sound. In addition, this high amplitude suggestion is transmitted on its own channel frequency. There's no other competing sound. For this reason, the technology is also referred to as clear channel. Silent sound is not just a different type of subliminal. It is completely silent. No foreground sound is necessary. It can influence thoughts and emotions, and due to its inaudible nature, it is undetectable under normal conditions. Furthermore, the frequency which is above or below human hearing is a conduit into the subconscious mind. So the high-powered suggestions can be transmitted directly into the subconscious with no conscious thinking. These messages can be transmitted in real time over public address, PA systems, or standard radio and TV broadcasts. They can also be recorded and relayed on mechanical, digital, or magnetic media such as tapes, CDs, video cassettes, digital tape recorders, and various types of computer memory. The Whole Brain Learning Institute, creator of products like Brainstorm, Brainstream, and Brainspeak, mentions how the use of silent sound by the U.S. DOD during the first Gulf War resulted in the surrender of many Iraqi soldiers. That's what we were talking about before, Reverend. That's what you said when you first started your call today, your show today. Coming up for the third time now. Now you can experience the latest achievement in subliminal technology, they announced. A method just to declassify, and until recently used only by the U.S. Department of Defense. Their products use silent sound technology in the ultra-high audio frequency range, just above human hearing, near ultrasound, with a power output of 90 to 100 decibels. As a comparison, a loud radio registers at about 80 decibels. Even the deaf can be influenced by this technology. I once spoke to a deaf woman, and she was getting B2K. It's just amazing. Amazing what those monsters have done. Their staff includes behaviorists, lifestyle experts, accelerated learning specialists, as well as noted composers and engineers. Their silent sound products include neurolinguistic programming techniques. They specifically mention that their products are based on the work of NLP experts such as Dr. Milton Erickson, John Grinder, and Dr. Richard Bandler. During the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein's primary C2 capabilities were destroyed, his troops were forced to listen to regular FM radio stations for their encoded orders. A U.S. PSYOP unit, PSYOP means psychological operations, used this opportunity to install a portable FM broadcast transmitter on top of the highest building in the city of Al-Qaddafi. There they transmitted a high-powered 100 millihertz signal to overpower the Iraqi station, which was transmitting on the exact same frequency. This program consisted of patriotic and religious music, as well as intentionally contradictory military orders. The broadcast also consisted of an audible negative silent sound programming, which allegedly devastated the Iraqi soldiers. Although completely silent to the human ear, reported the British television network ITV News on March 23, 1991, the negative voice messages were clearly perceived by the subconscious minds of the Iraqi soldiers, and the silent messages completely demoralized them and instilled a perpetual feeling of fear and hopelessness. The non-lethal weapons, terms and references report by the United States Air Force Institute for National Security Studies uses the exact Russian term psychocorrection, which it describes as a technology that can influence people with subliminal messages. Similarly, the Naval Law Review's article, A Primer on the Employment of Non-Lethal Weapons of 1998, mentions how subliminal mind control is to be used as a new way of controlling people. Normally, the conscious mind acts as a type of firewall to filter destructive ideas from being acted upon. Because this technology bypasses that mechanism, actions resulting from ideas that did not originate from the target's own mind can occur. In addition, if used in a destructive manner, it can create mental and emotional chaos due to conflicts arising in the person's belief system. This technology is extremely dangerous. While your conscious mind is engaged in other activities, its negative screening filters are not activated and your unconscious effortlessly receives the full impact. Dr. Nick Begich cautioned that silent sound has potentially serious implications because it bypasses the subconscious, avoiding any conscious filtering, and drops the information directly into the subconscious. conflicts of belief systems, he warned, can lead to significant emotional and psychological problems. The military's review, December 1980 report, The New Mental Battlefield, described this technology as thought induction techniques. In the report, Dr. John Alexander explained, the unique factor is that the recipient will not be aware that thoughts have been implanted from an external source. He or she will believe the thoughts are their own. Janet Morris indicated that a portable handheld device exists that can be used for crowd control, anti-personal actions, and other special operations. As far as it has become possible to probe and correct psychic contacts of human beings despite their will and consciousness by an instrumental means, announced the Russian Psycho Center, results have been achieved, can get out of control, and be used with inhumane purposes. So that's what I want to read today. And I know it was a lot of technical information, but it was good.
Amy, that's what we need. We need facts. We don't, you know, we know a lot of times most people don't understand. I got this in the chat room. It says, do you know anything about no-touch torture?
Yeah, well, that's what this is. This is a form of no-touch torture.
Okay. Right, and this is what he said. He said, yeah, he believed that that's what they call no-touch torture. What you just read, because he said one of the things that's so amazing, I talked about the Iraq army, and also in that article that you just read, it also mentioned that, because I always wonder what would it take, you know, for someone who's willing to die. They would strap a bomb on them and go into a mosque or anything like that and kill themselves, but all of a sudden they was willing to drop their arms and be taken hostage and become a war prisoner. That doesn't make no sense to me. You know, I say it because I read up on this army because I know who they are. You know, they was willing to fight. Those are the ones who stepped the bombs on them and willing to make the supreme sacrifice. But now all of a sudden they're in a fight position. They just gonna drop their arms. No way. That is not what they was trained to do. That's not what they do. But yeah, he said it's called no touch torture. Exactly what he said. And he appreciate that article you read, because he said it gives him clarification also. But look, let's tell you only got about 6 minutes to tell a little bit about yourself, because I got two other guests that I got to bring on who are going to talk about something different. But in these 6 minutes, I know you need more time, but you utilize these 6 minutes and tell us what you want us to know about you, and we'll get you back on, because I like what you just did today. That was amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much, Reverend. I really appreciate you appreciating it, and I really feel very happy that I came on your show and I was able to read that to your audience, because it's true. It's what has happened. It's what's going on now, even more advanced. Way, way more advanced, and there's still a lot of classified that no one has any access to. So science fiction has become fact. There's no such thing as science fiction anymore. So, and in the year 2009, I started hearing exterior voices, and I ignored them because it was very sporadic. It was once in a while. I ignored it. I was going home one night and I heard a voice say something to me, like three words. And I said, oh, it must be some microphone that the perfetrators put up so they can harass me like that. That's what I thought it was, some kind of a speaker or something like that. Okay, so then in 2014, and this happened every now and again, I would hear something and I ignored it. I thought, well, it's just that thing that they're doing, you know. Because I started getting targeted that I'm aware of in 2004. So in 2009, I moved into a new home. I had broken my leg months before that, and I was all healed, and I was able to walk again. And I moved into this new place, this new apartment, and that's where the V2K started, big time. I started getting these voices in my head. And because of what we're targeting, I had all the years, I was strong and I was stable, and I was mentally pretty much, you know, unbreakable. I still am. I consider myself that way. And also because of God, God has a lot to do with it. Jesus has a lot to do with it. And so I started hearing this chatter in my head, you know, and it was very terrorizing, which it's supposed to be. They're very demoralizing, very dehumanizing, which it's supposed to be. And that's when I did I put the right words in a search engine. And that's when I found Derek Robinson's website, which was a different website at the time. And now it's PAX. It was FFCHS then. And I started to get educated about what was happening to me. And I started to get on the conference calls, all the conference calls. And right today, there's four times more conference calls than there were then. This is like 2014, the end of 2014. And so I relaxed a little bit, and I learned coping skills and all that. And I learned how to ignore as much as possible. It's very annoying. It gets intense at times. Like today, it was intense earlier because I was getting on the call to you to, you know, to share today. So of course it's going to get more intense. Which, you know, so what? You know, I'm going to get targeted anyway. So I might as well educate the public, educate your callers, your listeners, and get targeted at the same time. At least my life is being done for something important. At least I'm alive for something important. You know, as this to educate the masses as much as I can, and to let people know what's going on. So not everybody is in la-la land, think everything's fine, and this can't happen to them, you know. I cope really well, and I talk to people on, you know, out in the public. I smile a lot. I say hello. I ask them how they are. Most people are not evil. There's lots of good people out there. And so I look for that and I find it. And, you know, I want to see this stopped. It's wrong. It's illegal. It's wrong to hack into someone's brain and send them messages and voices and implanted thoughts even. It's implanted thoughts. You know, sometimes you don't even know which thoughts are your own. That's how advanced this technology is. And so I have the opportunity to get to know myself better, like who am I, you know, like what are my beliefs, you know, what are my ethics, what do I feel is the right thing to do, and only do those right things, and always question if I get like an impulse to do something which is against my will, and against my ethics, I won't do it. Because I know it's not synthetic.
Absolutely.
So that's what I wanted to say, and you know, and I hope that people got some good stuff out of what I had to share today.
Oh, absolutely! I thought that you were sensational, and you had information. Very, very good information, and I'm glad because they was talking about one guy, like he talks about the no-touch torture and stuff like that. He said that, you know, there's so much that we can do as long as we start working together. Like I said earlier, I said a lot of times, you know, being a TI, a target individual, a lot of times people, you know, they don't believe it. They think that you might be insane, but they don't understand it can happen to anybody. You know, matter of fact, like I said earlier, everybody is expendable in this country. Everybody, you see, and they're using you and me and everybody else, you see, experimenting with us. But we're fighting back because there's more. There's more people around this country. I would say there's over 1 million people that's being targeted by this government. But listen, I want to thank
Absolutely.
You so much. I mean, that was beautiful. And I'm going to have to get you back on here because the information you gave today was outstanding. And I can tell by all these comments that everybody is making, and nobody is talking bad. Nobody is saying anything that's derogatory. They're saying all good things. They want to know how they can help. So one way that we're going to help is that we're going to come together, put our heads together, and figure out a way how we can fight back. But thank you so much for that, because I that was beautiful. And Amy, I will talk to you very, very soon. God bless you.
Oh, definitely.
God keep you.
Definitely.
And
God bless you
too. Take care of yourself. All right now. That was my girl. That was Amy herself. She very, very, very good information. And she spoke. She elaborated on very intelligently, and I love it. Thank you so much. Now let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, who is seeing the he's going to court pretty soon, and we want to know when. Let's get an update. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, what's going on with you, Reverend Pink?
Hey, all is well. All is well, my brother. Talk to me. Tell me what is going on. Tell me they done dropped the charges and you're moving on. Tell me that.
Unfortunately, they didn't do that. So what they did was they done lapsed the time on the speedy trial that I requested. So This is going to shock you. Ready for this? They try to say, well, we just want to see if he's competent to stand trial. Pretty much what it is they're afraid that I know everything now, that I done figured the whole case out.
Absolutely.
And I was showing them. I was bringing stuff to my attorney's attention. I was like, listen, I say, now, you know, this judge stated that according to this discovery, I was here, there, and everywhere. He was like, yeah. I say, well, how is it that I got a receipt that shows my truck was in the shop? And if this is the truck that they placed a tracker on, how am I making all of these areas and runs? I say, that's one issue. I said, another thing is, how is it that throughout my entire, even on the complaint they took to the prosecutor to get the warrant and all of this, why is it no time of when this so-called control buy supposedly took place, but I got a receipt that shows that I was at a shop, at an oil exchange shop, and the guy's willing to testify. I say, but they said at this time they bought some drugs from me. I said, how is that possible? Mm. Y'all bought drugs from me in southwest Detroit, and I'm all the way on 7 Mile and Telegraph, and that's a nice little distance.
Mm.
How is it possible that I was over there from northwest Detroit to southwest Detroit? How was I over there selling somebody drugs if I was in a shop?
Mm.
So they gave me the records and everything at the shop, gave it all to my attorney. So because I done found out the guy's family connection to these police, now it's like, okay, you digging too deep now. Now we want to get him a competency. We want to request that he goes to talk to a psychiatrist. I say, boy, y'all is funny, man. Y'all is funny. I say, but okay, no problem.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because they can't. Let me tell you what they did. They came to me. They said, okay, we'll tell you what we'll do. Now, remember, we started off at 10 years. Went to like, well, I think it was 4 or 5 years. I can't remember. Well, the last one they came to me with, they was like, well, how about this? How about 27 months to 33 months? I said, I don't want it. I want a trial. And I guess that's when they just like, okay, this guy, he's not backing down. No, I'm not backing down.
Yeah.
I'm finna show what y'all been hiding in this city for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's finna get exposed. And now y'all mad. And now I got the witnesses. Good looking for leaving me out while I fight my case.
Yeah.
Great job. because now I got the witnesses. So
I,
they're trying
I
to
know
prevent.
They don't like that. Mm-hmm.
No, they don't like it at all. I mean, and some of the witnesses, especially the fact that the guy just murdered another guy and a lady. I'm sure you guys probably seen it on the news. A lady taking her groceries in the house. She was shot like 30-something times because her husband got ahead of problem with these guys. This ain't something I pulled out the air. People started calling me like, man, did you hear this, what he just did? Then another guy on September 30th, people started calling me like, bro, you need to say something, man. This guy just, he keep killing people out here. I say, bro, I said, it's clearly they know what he's doing and they don't give a damn about what he's doing.
Yeah.
They're going to keep letting him kill and kill and kill, and that's clearly what they're just going to let him do. I say, it's a damn shame.
Wow.
I'm starting to feel
heard about those killings that was happening up in Detroit, and some of that seemed like it fits into exactly what you're saying. Wow.
Yes, the lady her husband had a problem with this group, the same group of guys that I'm telling you about, been telling you about for the longest. Her husband had a problem with them, whatever the case may be. I don't know, but when the situation happened, I guess they get retaliation towards him. They went and killed her, shot her like 30-something times while she's taking her groceries in the house. Now, people got to calling me, telling me about it. And I'm like, man, this is crazy, man. Like, how is this guy doing all of this and these people don't know it? How is he doing this and they don't know it? I don't know. Well, they do know, but then he just burnt his house up. So I don't know. I guess he's trying to get some insurance money so he can get up out of here or something. Nah.
Yeah.
But another friend of mine that knows, he say, bro, he burnt that house up because he probably killed somebody in that basement and don't want them people to know about it and go in there and do forensics on the house. I say, you know what? I didn't even think about that, bro, but that makes sense why he would do that, because it was actually a nice house. All of a sudden, the house got burnt up.
Wow.
I say, yeah, this ain't making sense. I mean, if they don't see this, I can't nobody see it. And so what I did was, this is what I did. When the people started calling me, I got a whole nother phone other than this one, right? I say, you know what, call me on that phone number. And the reason I did that, so when they be like, well, how is you getting this information? Is you just pulling this out the sky? No. This phone over here records my voice and the people that's calling me voice. So it ain't that I'm making it up. You hear the full conversation of what people calling me telling me. I ain't pulling this out the sky. They the ones who telling me. So y'all going to still say that the whole community, I guess the whole entire community needs psychiatric treatment then?
Well, hey, you call them with their draws down. That's how you did that. You did some good work. I want to tell you that. Fantastic work. I am really, really
proud of you. Did you look inside the flash drive? You get it?
I got a hold of one that I was able to review. I'm working on the other one, and I want to save it and do something a little bit different with it. But it's some amazing work, man. I tell you that. You are, man, you need to be out here. You need to be out here fighting for the people, man, because, you know, your work alone is incredible. And we need you, man. We need guys like you because we don't have many. There's not many out here that are willing to stand up and fight. But we have to recall there's strength in numbers. See, a lot of times people don't understand how powerful we are. You know, we're powerful. But the point is, we have to learn to fight together. See, that's how they do. See, they use all the different agencies, and they all come together against you. You see, if they want to raid your house, it'll be 5-6 different agencies. If they want you tracked, it's 5 different agencies. This is how they operate. This is what they do. But here's the bad part. People accept exception because people are fearful for their life. I'm going to tell you just like this. People are so scared. They're so glad. Like these, you know, my friends, the target individuals, they are tracking them, but they're fighting back. You see, we have to learn to fight back. Until we learn to fight back, it's going to continue just like it is. These folks would do anything. So we have to have that same mentality that we have to do anything we can to make sure that they don't destroy us because they're coming. These folks are
coming because they're
evil and they're wicked.
I know they did not expect me to figure out every single person that was involved in the situation. As you see yourself and listen to the recordings, they started telling on each other.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They started telling on each other, and I made sure I recorded it so I could be like, okay, don't tell me you didn't tell on your co-conspirator. I got you recorded that you told on him.
Yeah.
And you told on her. Y'all all telling on each other. Now, how you think I was able to figure the whole case out?
No.
Because they realized. He got way more dirt and some very dangerous dirt on us, and he's going to open a can of worms that we ain't ready for. Well, y'all should have thought about that when y'all want to target my whole family.
Yeah.
I've been just sitting back
absolutely.
Building this stuff up, and like I say, I guess now he like, how do I get out of this situation, you know? I mean, it's. I ain't gonna lie, Rapper Pig. I got so many recordings that I didn't even add. Huh?
How many of your brothers do they already have? One. How many brothers do they have?
They got one of them locked up in federal prison. They framed my son with a murder. Said that he did something, even though the Detroit police was like he didn't do that murder. The person that's testifying on him did the murder, but they looked at the Detroit police like whatever. We don't care what you talking about. But it was an actual Detroit police officer saying, no, I know who did the murder, and it ain't the person y'all charging. But instead, what they did was the person that testified against him, you know, he was a part of that little circle. So they said, we're going to take your word over his word since we really don't like his daddy. Therefore, you're going to be stuck with 16 years in prison.
16 big ones. Wow.
So now that's why I say, you know what? Since y'all want to go at everybody with me, my one little brother, they tried to get him. They done stalked his house all through the night, but then they upset because they like, oh, damn, we couldn't get this one. So they've been stalking all the family members. So I said, okay, it's something deeper to this. So that's when I got to digging. Then I got to go into everybody I know, like, hey, once I got to realize, I'm like, oh, you kept saying, even if you listen to the recording, he kept saying, yeah, I got Wayne County Sheriff and Detroit Police working on my side. Even in one of the recordings where he talks about how somebody tried to provide information on him, they not knowing that it was his family member who was the police, so they beat the hell out of the guy.
Yeah.
So you got criminal cops out here working with you and they're part of your family, jumping on people whenever somebody trying to give information up on them. And he admitted that right on his phone, so he can't say, no, I never said that. Dude, I got you recorded saying it. I never trusted you. So by me not trusting you, I just let you kept talking. Go ahead, because you ain't doing nothing but burying yourself. I know what you on. I know what tip you're on.
Yeah.
Now, how is it that I got all of this? I even got, this is going to really shock you, I even got some of their own family members talking about what they done did.
Right.
How they done plotted against and murdered one of their other family members.
Wait a minute. You mean they not the same thing?
They blood family. They blood
family.
Wow. Yes.
Amazing.
They blood family members, which gave me the whole rundown. Like, man, they've been trying to kill him for a minute. So this person, and she was like, you can go ahead and record me. I don't care. Because I don't care which of them fall. They shouldn't have did that.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you very much. So it ain't something that I'm just making up out of the sky. they gave me their government name and everything. This is his name. This is his date of birth. Yeah. Oh, man, listen. The flash drive that I sent you, man, if you see the way I organized this last one, you're going to be like, whoa, this is deep.
Yeah, well, you know, because
it's way more on it.
And there's other, you know, I want to show it to other people so other people can see it, you know, because, a lot of time when I talk about it, most people say, well, you know, that ain't happening. But it is happening. It's not
this one got their family members on conversations that you're going to hear on it where they talking about what they did.
Yeah.
Their own family members.
Absolutely.
So it ain't something I'm just making up.
Yeah, oh, I know that for sure. I know you accurately. It's like I said, it's all over the country. You know, it's the same mentality that we're dealing with. Police officers doing whatever they want. They're rogue. They're out there doing what they want to do, planting drugs on people, shooting people, killing people, and not caring who know about it. That's how tough they are.
Yeah, going to the prosecutor saying, one of our CIs bought some crack from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we finna raid him. And they literally just making this up.
Oh, of course.
Oh, we don't
that's
like this person. We're going to say, yeah. But then once I just got to say, like, hold on, man, this case ain't making any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
mm-hmm.
once I got a hold of the discovery. Because I told my attorney, I was like, when that discovery come in, I want a copy.
Yeah.
He was looking like, well, why do you want a copy? I said, because I know how to study my case.
Right,
I ain't no fool now. I don't care if I paid you. I'ma still study my own case.
That's right. And
I think
you better do exactly
one thing
that,
is for certain.
A lot of these people will sell you out like it ain't nothing. But look, unfortunately, we have just ran out of time, my brother. And you let me know what's happening when you get ready to go to court. Let me know when the trial begins. I'm thinking it won't start until around April, because they're gonna run that test on you, whether you like it or not. They're gonna, you know, the court's gonna approve it and try to run that test on you, and then from there, it's gonna take a couple of maybe a month or two for it to come back. So you're looking at May, before you go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel, unless they already set a court date. If they already set a court date, it's something different. But I don't think they'll be able to complete the evaluation of you. I don't see it happening before maybe March. You know, I don't see it happen. I know down here it takes about 90 days for them to. And here's another thing they like to do. When they give you that evaluation, they like to lock you up and send you to Ypsilanti. There's a place in Ypsilanti that they call it, it's a forensics place where they send you, and you stay there and they evaluate you. That's how they do. So be aware of that also, because make sure your lawyer know. But this is federal. Federal might be a little bit different. But we'll see. But look, I don't have any more time at this time. But look, give me a call in maybe in about 20 minutes, and I'm going to talk some more with you.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank all the people who have made comments. Let's keep it going. We have to protect our TI family. And on that note, next week, same time. Oh, next week we're going to have Dr. Millicent Black on. And she's going to tell us a story. She's a renowned TI. And you're going to love her. So tell your friends, tell everybody that Millicent, Dr. Millicent Black, will be on our show.